Hi, friends, and welcome to the By Faith podcast. My name is Christine Hooper, and I'm so glad you're here. This season on By Faith, we're talking about the ins and outs of vocational ministry. Today's episode marks my last for 2021, but we have so much more to talk about, and that's why I'll be continuing this season and this theme of vocational ministry into 2022. So plan to pick up with me in January. Soon after we jump back in together, I'll release my new book for pastor's wives called How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. And in fact, last week I spent time in DC recording the narration for the audiobook. I'm super excited to share about this book with you and some other resources that I'm creating, and I'll be sharing all of that with you in the new year. Today, my guest on By Faith is Hannah Sir. Hannah is a pastor's wife in Columbus, Ohio, who works full-time outside the church and home. I invited her on to talk about that. How does she make decisions regarding her time? How does her work enhance her ministry? And what limitations and tensions does she experience between work, home, and ministry? We talked about all those things, but we also ended up talking about so much more. Hannah is a passionate woman, which you'll hear today in her voice. And so we talk about her passions and how we can know what God would have us invest ourselves in. We talk about being who we're created to be, learning to say no, and so much more. Here, friends, is my conversation with Hannah Sir. I am really excited to get to talk today with Hannah Sir. Welcome, Hannah.
Hi, I'm very excited to be here as well.
I'm excited to have you and excited to get to hear your perspective. I know what we're going to talk about, but I'm so glad to get to talk to someone who is a pastor's wife who is working full time, because we have so many pastor's wives that work full time and we don't often get to hear your perspective. So we're going to hear about that today. But first, I want to have you introduce yourself and tell us some about your family, your context, where you're serving, anything you want us to know about you.
Sure. Hannah, that's who I am. I have been a pastor's wife for the last 10, 11 years. So I lived a life as a prodigal for the most of my teens and 20s. And then I came back to the Lord in my mid-20s and got married to a pastor. And that was back in Korea. So my husband Isaac and I have been married for more than 10 years. So 11 years. We have a 4-year-old son named Sheppy. And we planted our church in Columbus, Ohio, just a year ago. It was right when the pandemic started in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, our first day to meet in person, we had this grand opening planned, and we were going to meet at the rec center nearby. And 3 days before our opening Sunday, we got a call and said, we're sending everybody home. So we've been meeting online since then. That was March of 2020. And just 4 months ago, we started meeting in person. So things are really feeling like we just planted 4 months ago. We're actually meeting and we're doing events and we're just growing and seeing new people come and all these things. So that's where I'm at in terms of my church planting journey. And as you said, I do work outside the church. My official job is I do communications, corporate communications for Nationwide Insurance. And that's actually just, I work in my basement, and that started since last year, right? But I started going back to the office. So I'm in the office 6 times a month, and all the other times I'm here working from home. It's been great. I do love communications. I really love learning more about leadership. So if I can add just one more thing, I started graduate school last year. A lot of things happened during the pandemic. I think when we have all this time, we're like, what can I do? What's something different I can learn and grow into? So I started grad school pursuing communications and leadership, which is something I'm very passionate about. So one thing I can just give away right now is I'm 39 years old. I just turned 39 3 days ago. So I had to think for a minute. And I just started grad school. You know, I have a 4-year-old child. That may be a different story compared to a lot of pastor's wives. I know a lot of pastor's wives who had their first child in their 20s, and I had mine in my mid-30s. And, you know, it's never too late to start anything and pursue your dreams. So That was a long introduction, but that's who I am.
I loved hearing it. And also, no one can see you but me, but you do not look 39. You look very young. So that's great. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So before you were church planting, you were, I'm imagining, in some sort of established church?
Yes. So my husband and I, we met in Korea, and that's when he became a full-time pastor. We were ministering at an international church or English speaking ministry in Korea. So it was, I just learned so much from that ministry. It was filled with people from all over the world. So that's where we met. That's where I grew spiritually, because that's when I came back to the Lord. And fast forward just a few years, we spent some time in Chicago, because that's where I'm from. And we've been in Columbus, Ohio for 6 years, and we were in an established Korean church, actually, also doing English ministry at a Korean church.
In Columbus before you planted?
In Columbus, yep. We did that for 4 years, yep.
Okay, well, that was my next question. Why Columbus? But you were already there, so that's great. So I'd love to hear, you've talked about leadership, you love communication. I would imagine that plays itself out not only in your vocation, but also your ministry. What are some specific passions that you have in terms of ministry, and how did those passions develop for you?
Mm-hmm. I always loved praise. And that's how I met my husband, on the praise team. And praise is what brought me back to the Lord. Just music and everything. And I think maybe 2 years ago, I would have said, praise, you know, I'm going to die praising, and praise music. Praise is just all I'm going to do. But I think through the church planting journey, I've learned that I can't just pursue the things that I love, because there's a need everywhere. So once I started pursuing other things, I learned that, wow, I can be passionate about this too. It's not just me, my personal likes and dislikes that lead me to pursuing a passion, but it's what the Holy Spirit, it's what God leads me to. He said, hey, there's a need in women's ministry. There's a need in one-to-one mentorship ministry. And once I start just following his leading, I can grow passionate about anything. So I would still say I love praise. It's the way that I connect with God, and I love taking people into his presence. That's what I love. But I have found a newfound passion in empowering women, mentoring younger women. And I am a part of a justice ministry. We don't have an official title yet, but a justice ministry that focuses on anti-human trafficking. And a lot of trafficked women are, I love meeting with them and just empowering them and hearing their stories and learning that, man, the life that they lived is so different from mine. And I do care for women in prison and abused. So yeah, that's the dormant passion, because I had been involved in anti-human trafficking ministry back in Korea. So I say dormant because I think I kind of hid that away in the US for various reasons. And it's really come back to life last year. So God's been reigniting that heart, that part of my heart, to really care deeply about women, the neglected, the abused. So yeah, these are my passions.
Is that justice ministry something that you're starting at your church, or you're involved in something that someone else has started?
Yes, it is something that we are starting, and we are connecting with local organizations. And I recently became a board member at a nonprofit organization called She Has a Name. And it's She Has a Name is a community that connects volunteers and people, the community, to different organizations that work directly with trafficked victims and abuse and stuff like that. So yes, our church is currently about 15 to 20 people. So it's on the smaller size. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to call it an official justice ministry, but definitely there is an unofficial justice activity happening in our church. I can't wait until that day. I do have a a dream of creating a ministry and calling it a justice headquarters, where just everything related to justice and I can go on and we can save the topic for another day, but just it's just really so core at the center of the gospel, and Jesus truly cares about justice. So yeah.
I love it. Really, I can see the passion. Yeah. I can hear it.
Awesome.
How did you know? I'm listening through the ears of those hearing this who are thinking, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know where, especially, I mean, you even saying you're church planting and you have 15 to 20 people, a lot of church planters might go, well, how do you, I'm trying to just stay afloat right now. Like, how did you know, Hannah, that this was a passion that God was asking you to invest your time and your heart in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that question a lot, especially from younger women. And my advice to them is just be patient in finding your passion and know that everybody is different. I'm a passionate person and I express my passion. So you may look at me and go, wow, that woman is so passionate. But in reality, my passion, if there is a level of passion, right? Only what Jesus can measure. If there is a level of passion, my passion might be very little compared to someone else who's quiet about it, but internally they're very passionate. So don't, because I'm so expressive and I tend to look passionate, don't think that, oh man, I don't think I could ever be like Hannah. You probably won't express it like me because we're so different. But if there is a tug in your heart and you are motivated to think about it, plan and dream, whatever allows you to dream is your passion. And until you get there, continue practicing at it. I think a lot of women are frustrated that they can't find their passion, yet they don't go out and explore. I think the key component is we go and explore. I didn't know that I loved empowering women and leadership until I went out and have ministered to women, talked to women. In fact, to have compassion for those who are neglected and those who are hurt and suffering. I didn't realize that until I suffered, until I went through the valleys and the desert. And then I realized, oh my goodness, life here is so difficult in this place. I wonder what it feels like for those who live in the valleys for decades and they have no hope. They have no glimpse of hope. They don't have anybody reaching their hands. And there are so many people like that. So yeah, it took me to be in a very bad place, a very ugly place, to have compassion and empathy for those who live in that bad and ugly place mm-hmm. and who have lived in that place for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So one key, just my answer is just keep exploring, keep doing things that you don't normally love doing. And then at least you start to recognize this is something that I don't want to do. And this is not what I'm passionate about. And discovering the things that you're not passionate about is a start to discovering your passion.
That's right. I always tell my kids that it's just as important to know what you don't love mm-hmm. doing as much as you know what you do love. You can cross things off the list.
Yes.
I think also what I found as a church planting pastor's wife is that you have the ability. We always use the word DNA. Like, it's almost like you are passing on your DNA, what you love and what you're passionate about, because you're building the church from the ground up. That often transfers to the church. And that's sobering, because some of the things that are my weaknesses or my husband's weaknesses can also transfer. But one thing that I love is that we have this opportunity for influence. And I would love to hear how you see your role in church planting in church planting, and how it's giving you the opportunity to kind of encourage and empower women, not just to pursue justice because that's your passion, but their own passions.
Yeah. So I work, as I introduced, I work outside the church, and I find that a lot of the women in our ministry also work. They care about their career a lot, and they care about their career development. So they're not going to stay in that place. They're going to continue to grow. And I think maybe it's just who I am, and I draw people who are also career driven, right? because people tend to look up to their leaders and church leaders. So I have a lot of energy, and I think I do try my best to influence others by just letting them know and encouraging them that life is not over after you have kids. Life is not over after you turn 40. I have one more year in my 30s and then I'll enter my 40s, but that is my goal, to show them that you become stronger and you become, your wisdom grows. And and how wasteful is it to not use that wisdom that we've continued to develop and grow into our 40s and 50s? I cannot wait until I'm 50. I really can't. And from when I'm 50, I'll say I'm 60 and 70, you know, because the wisdom that I gain from meeting people and just everything that I do in ministry is awesome. So that is one way that I try to influence and develop younger women, because I've heard so many women say, oh man, I'm 30 now. What am I going to do with my life? My life is over. But and maybe that's just the environment that I've been a part of. It could be an Asian thing. But yeah, I try to influence them and show them, no, life gets better. The more gray hair you have, the more wisdom that you receive from the Lord, life gets better. So don't stop using it. Continue to grow and continue to minister to others.
Well, let's talk about you working, because I just really want to encourage and help women who are working and they serve as a pastor's wife, and a lot have children. Some may not, but you know, I work, I understand that perspective, but I also have flexibility in my schedule. It sounds like you might have a little bit right now too, working at home, but I would love to hear from you. Do you feel tension in that? Do you feel any tension between the pool of ministry and the needs there and your work, which you seem to really enjoy? And so you want to be engaged with your, not just your mind, but your heart is there as well. So do you feel any tension in that? And if so, what are they?
Sure. There is tension in, because of my passion, and I just want to do everything. That's my problem. I want to say yes to everything.
That's my problem too.
Because every opportunity is an opportunity for me to grow into something or learn something new. And I guess the tension is, of course, with family. My 4-year-old goes to pre-K now, but before he was at a daycare, and they had a field trip to the zoo, and I told him I'll be there and dad will be there. And it was, I guess I underestimated his ability to remember promises, because he was 3 back then. And I told him I'll be there, and I was running late. I had a meeting, and I actually ended up not showing up. And of course, I didn't know much about it, but he's a type, he doesn't express right away. But then a week later, just randomly, he goes, "Mommy, why didn't you come to the zoo?" And that was already a week ago. And that really broke my heart. And I think that was the first time I just really felt like, man, it doesn't feel good to, you know, miss out and break promises with my son. So I think the family tension is there. And I know that it has to be teamwork. I can't just, you know, set my priorities and make things right, but it's the sacrifice that I make and my husband makes, and sometimes my son makes, and we have to be in agreement to make those sacrifices and understand why we're making those sacrifices. So family tension, but also when we have busy seasons, right? And I think right now we're in a really, really busy season as we're trying to build momentum and trying to hold events and get people to hear the gospel and come into our church building, or meeting at a middle school. So come into the building where we meet, you know. So we're very busy, but work is picking up as well before the end of the year. And also I'm going to start my class for my grad school in a month. So just time management, and there's frustration. I remember just one time, I had no time to eat or chew my food. So we got a bunch of protein shake type of things. And I was like, I don't have time to eat. I'm just going to drink my food. But those who know me know that I love food, and I definitely live to eat. So those are some of the very, you know, humorous tensions that I live with. But, you know, it's good to realize that I'm just mere human. It's good to realize that I can't pursue everything that I love to pursue or I'm passionate about. And it's a good place for me to just get down. And that's one of the benefits of working in the basement. I just go sit on that yoga mat and get on my knees and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And just spending that sweet time with the Lord. That's how I would overcome my tension. So yeah, there's tension everywhere, but it's good. It stretches me and it allows me to just lean on God and be reminded that I'm just human, desperately in need of Jesus.
Do you have any other words of, you know, practical things that you do when you're facing kind of the decision that involves maybe it's the family and work responsibilities that overlap, or it's a church opportunity and work responsibilities that overlap? Like, how do you make decisions about what you will and won't do? Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah. I am naturally a very flexible person. I know that everybody's different, but I do thrive. One of the things I write in my resume is thrive under spontaneity. I love just spontaneous things popping up. And when a plan goes wrong, I love to fix it and go, okay, well, what can we do? Where is my husband? He is the opposite. If something goes wrong with his plan, then, you know, his whole day is thrown off. So having flexible mindset about your priorities is key for me. I have to know, okay, today, this week, this month, these are my priorities. And being able to communicate that to those who are impacted by my arrangement of my priorities. So when I know when I have to put a little bit more focus on work, I know when I have to put a little bit more focus on church, and that's the current season I'm in right now, then I have to be flexible enough to take some time off. And I'm glad to do that. I'm so thankful for my vacation days that I have accrued over since the pandemic was around and nobody was going anywhere. So yeah, being flexible to use those vacation days, and knowing that, you know, we hear about work-life balance a lot, and we often think like, all right, well, I'm going to give 60% to family and 40% to work, and it's always going to be like this. Well, my advice, and it's for those who may receive it and have an aha moment with it, it's not for everybody, but my advice really is, it can't be 60-40. It can't be 50-50 all the time. We have to be flexible, and we have to be able to communicate what our priorities are to those around us.
Yes. Yeah. And to be able to be fully present in wherever we are. I think sometimes when we try to, what ends up happening is we feel guilt. We feel like, oh, I'm doing this, but I should be doing that. I'm doing this, but I should be doing that. And then we're never fully present in what God has given us. Right. So I'd love you to speak to that about guilt, because I do think that sometimes for various reasons, pastors' wives who, you know, just from talking to you a few minutes, I can tell you're very driven. You have a lot of interests, and I think sometimes women have problems accepting, if they are like that, accepting that that's a good thing, that that's God given, that they kind of have this idea of a mold that they should fit in as a pastor's wife and, or a woman, or, you know, whatever it is. And they feel guilt over not being who they think they should be, or they should be able to handle all of these things. So I wonder if you ever deal with guilt. Or if so, how do you deal with that? And if not, what are some truths that have helped you to get to the point, that point?
Sure. I've dealt with guilt. It's not something that I'm struggling through these days. I think there was a season of me overcoming just a season of guilt or feeling not good enough, right? To be a pastor's wife. I was not a typical, I don't want to say typical, because what is typical? It's still relevant, right?
Every pastor's wife says that. I'm not a typical pastor's wife.
Well, that's good. That's good. But I really think I'm not typical. And I think it took me some time to come to a place and recognize that this is a good thing, because there is a group of women out there who look to me and go, oh my, you're, and I've heard this so many times, you're not a typical pastor's wife. And they've said it with bright eyes, and they've said it with just feeling encouraged that they've seen a pastor's wife to be this very nice and gentle. And these are great characters. I do need to pursue these characters as well. And they thought, that's not me, that mother of five children, who's always, you know, taking care of their children. And yeah, and that's just not me. And they felt out of place in the church, and they see me, they're like, oh my goodness, this woman is crazy. And I can relate to her. So anyway, guilt. Yes, I have dealt with guilt a while ago. Just feeling like I can't pray such godly prayers, you know? And what is a godly prayer, right? It's gotta be just something that the Holy Spirit speaks through you. And it's something from the heart. And it took me some time to come to a place of just being confident in my prayers, feeling guilty that, sure, I'm not cooking enough for those who are sick, you know, because I love food. I love to share what I eat. And I don't have time for that. I'm not making something homemade. I don't bake. But then a lot of wonderful women do. So feeling like, why is it always me just buying something from the grocery store? You know, when we do like a dessert potluck or something, like I'm always the one buying something from the grocery store and pretending like I baked it. No, I wouldn't go as far as lying, but, you know, feeling guilty about that. But I think what helped me to overcome that guilt is really words of other women who have told me, you are different and I am encouraged by you. And just really knowing that as long as what you're doing is not sinful, as long as you're pursuing the characteristics of Jesus, it is okay to be different. And as long as you're not being arrogant about it, or just, and as long as I'm striving to learn something new, right? To be that gentle pastor's wife figure. I think when I say that, we may all have someone in mind that, you know, that pastor's wife that really nurtured you and the members of the church. As long as I pursue that character in my own way, I think it's okay for you to continue just being who you are. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, you don't just say, well, this is who I'm and this is who I'm going to be forever, because there are other ways that God wants to grow you and develop you. So overcome your guilt, but also try to learn new things. And that's my theme of my life, is just trying to learn new things, new ways to be a pastor's wife, new ways to bless people, because one type of pastor's wife can't be a blessing to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I just, for me, I think it's beautiful that we do things differently. I think that I struggled with the mold of the pastor's wife for a long time, because I genuinely admired pastor's wives around me, but I have a different personality than them and different gifts, and to try to be them is to not be who God has made me. And I've just come to really love and value the differences, not just in pastor's wives, but in all people, God's people, you know, and what you're describing and how women see themselves in you. You know, they may see themselves in the mom of five who is homeschooling and all that. We need all those pictures of godly women doing different things. The goal isn't uniformity, it's unity. And I love how the Bible speaks of the church as the manifold wisdom of God, almost like a prism, that there's so many colors and so much variety in the ways that we honor him and serve him. And I think that's what makes the church his wisdom and his shows his beauty. So I love that you're bringing that out. And I hope that gives freedom to women who are listening, who are thinking, well, I'm not like that so-and-so pastor's wife down the street. And I say, good, be who you are. And like you pointed out, we all want to have godly character, and that mm-hmm. will be the same, right? We want to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, but how we serve mm-hmm. is going to be vastly different. And that is really good. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
So I'd love to talk about some of the limitations that work brings in for you. One being, and you mentioned a lot of women in your church work as well. And so I'm wondering, as you're trying to reach out and invite people into the church, as you described earlier, how do you make time for that with your work schedule? Do you have any tips that you can give working women as far as how do you make time and get creative about ways that you can reach out to other women?
Yeah, the pandemic definitely helped. I think the flexibility of working from home. And I know that many people now, working professionals, are pursuing that option if they may be switching jobs just so that they can gain that flexibility to work from home. So that was a game changer for me. I was able to take time off during my lunch as long as I didn't have any meetings or conflicts. And it's encouraged that we take time off for ourselves. So I could go have coffee during lunch, and weekends are available and evenings are available as long as I am not compromising my job, because that is also a God-given task. I should always pursue excellence in everything that I do. And that is my goal. You know, I do have that flexibility. So that's really great. And I think, again, I have a lot of energy and I can really fill my day and I'm okay. I just don't want women to feel like, well, I can't meet three people in one day outside of my job. Well, then don't.
Yeah.
Be self-aware of your strength and then ask the Lord to give you more strength, right? To be able to go out and meet people. I'll say, like, sometimes I have a meeting at 9 p.m. And again, a virtual atmosphere really helped me. And that's a perfect time. That's when Sheppy's in bed and I can sit down, but physically I'm tired. You know, I at 9 p.m., right? That's when mm-hmm. I just want to mm-hmm. wash up and go to sleep. But every time I do have that meeting at 9 p.m., I do walk away feeling encouraged. It's a discipleship meeting or a Bible study. I've always felt much better and refreshed after these meetings, no matter what time I've had them. So I would say it's okay to push yourself, but know yourself. Don't push yourself so hard that you get burnt out. I think I've come to a place after some burnouts and some, you know, seasons here and there, I know where I'm at. So I would say yes to these meetings and take advantage of these flexible lunch options that I have and meet people at 9 o'clock if I need to. But that's just what I do. And know that if you're doing something for the Lord and ask the Lord to provide you strength to do it, He will. Mm-hmm. He will. But don't be afraid to go to these, go through these seasons of where you're being stretched. Because if you're not used to having meetings at 9 p.m., it's going to be hard for you for a little bit. But if that's the time that you are going to choose to meet some moms who are more comfortable meeting via Zoom during that time, just remember to ask for strength, but also know that there's going to be a couple of months where you're just being stretched, doing something new that you haven't done before. Mm-hmm. And if you try for half a year and you're like, nope, I cannot do it, then don't be afraid to just move on and maybe set up another time, 6 a.m. meetings. I wouldn't do that because I'm really not a morning person.
No.
But I've had people say like, hey, do you want to meet at like 6:30 a.m.? I'm like, nope. I have to know when to say no. I can't just say yes to every all around the clock.
Yes. Oh, when I had small children, I did all my meetings really early in the morning like that. I don't know how I did it.
Oh, wow.
But so I'm imagining you're pretty good at saying no.
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, good. We need to learn from you. I remember reading a book and I took so much notes. It was the book Essentialism. And there was a whole chapter on how to say no. Mm-hmm. Because I did not know how to say no. I've gotten a lot better at it, but you sound like you're good at saying no. So help us know when we know it's a, God is saying no. So I'm not talking about saying no to the things God has asked us to do. We know it's a no. How do you handle that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think before we learn to say no well, we should learn to say yes well. I've often encountered people who just think for days and months about the answer that they should provide. Should I say no? If I say no, then this is going to happen. If I say yes, this is going to happen. And, you know, I say, just say yes. Do you have the time to do it? Do you have the ability? What's stopping you from saying yes? So this is my easy answer. And it's that I just say yes to all the things that I love. And if I have the time to do it, I say yes. And then again, I have to know my strength. I have to know myself. Self-awareness mm-hmm. is just super important. Before I say yes to everything, I have to know, okay, is this going to increase my wisdom, knowledge, benefit my ministry, relationship with the Lord? Is this going to make me a better person and leader in ministry? Or is it just something that I enjoy doing and, you know, I want to do it? So I think I'm at a place where I've learned to say yes really well. And that helped me to say no, because when I say yes to the things that I want to do and continue, I want to commit to, I know what I don't want to commit mm-hmm. to. And there are times you are going to say no to the things that you really, really want to do because you have no time and you have to be realistic. And it's important to say no to these things well. So saying no for now to whoever is requesting that on you, say no for now, but give good reason so that maybe in the future you can say yes to that. Yeah. And some people will just say yes because they're so nice and they'll say yes. And you know, I really don't like seeing people just like fade out of the scene of a ministry because they don't know how to say no. Right. And yeah. They're just unhappy doing what they have committed to. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's important that we say no and give good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's in some ways it's discipleship. We're mm-hmm. teaching other people, hey, it's okay to say no. And when you say no to me, you know, there've been times where I've asked somebody to volunteer for something and they say a gracious no, I've prayed about this and I just really don't think this is right for me. I always try to affirm that and say, thank you for saying no. I respect that. I respect mm-hmm. the no. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it too, is just making it a part of the culture that we're going to serve sacrificially, but we're also going to say no sometimes. And that's mm-hmm. good. So just a final question. I'm thinking that especially the context you've described in which you serve, that your work probably and having the experience of work probably enhances the ministry work that you're doing within your church and community. So how does your work enhance what you do?
Yes, definitely. This is one of the bigger reasons why I continue to work, and I will continue to work as long as I can until I have no capacity and I just have to fully devote to church, which is not a bad thing either, but is that I benefit so much learning from the corporate environment, hanging out, having lunches. Now that was hard last year when we were all working from home but just getting to know my colleagues and understanding the real problems, real life situations outside of the church, because these people working in the corporate world will come to church, but once you step your foot in the four walls of your church, you become a different person. You become a very church person. You become very polite and you hide things that you've been carrying the previous 6 days. But at work, you're just open, right? So I get to know people's lives and I get to know that things that I read on the news, things that I see on social media, are real, because I can tend to think, oh, that's happening so far away. Oh, no, not in my community. But we are all living in, I believe, especially Christians, we do live in a big bubble, or a small bubble, I think, if you especially grew up in the church and that's your number one community. But I think in the corporate world, I learn about people's lives. And of course, at my company, it's going to be a big bubble too, because similar people are working at my company, and you know, and we tend to think everybody is like this, everybody's my like my colleagues, but no, there's bigger community out there. So yes, it's really, it helps me to know what people outside the church are thinking, what they're mm-hmm. doing, what they're struggling with. But also I learn a lot about, because I'm doing communications, I learn a lot about communications, strategic communications and internal communications. What's the best way to communicate to our church members? What's the best way to connect with them and reach them? So these are things that I've always learned. Previous to my current role, I was a supervisor. So I got to learn about leadership. And that's where I just gained a great passion for leadership, because the power to influence people, you know, I learned that in my workplace. And I'm very blessed to be able to have all these programs that I get to take at my work. And they teach you a ton about leadership, about effective communication. And these are all things that I can use in the church. And what I learned in the church, I can bring back to my company. So I can just help both ways. And about organization, right? About organization, mm-hmm. I'm learning a ton about that as well. One thing that we recently encountered is that our core group, they're all, most of them work in a corporate setting. And we realized that when we brought an outsider in into our meeting to get his perspective on organizing an event, we realized that we were so corporate-like, and we didn't know that until we had to bring in an outsider to kind of evaluate, you know, how we plan. And we're so like, we're so professional about it. And sometimes I think when you're organizing events in a church event, you don't have to be so corporate-like. And we just didn't know that because we're just surround our core groups, core group leaders are all in corporate settings. And that's a lesson that we learned. We had a follow-up discussion and we said, you know what? It's good to have an outside perspective come in and kind of reshuffle our planning, how we structure things, because we tend to be a little bit too much corporate and we tend to be a little bit too much. Everything's about the organization, the planning. But sometimes when you're just preaching the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus, simplicity is a good thing too. So yeah, I learn back and forth. I take away what I learned from work to church, church to work, and then sometimes to the outside community outreach stuff that we're doing. I learn a ton from just nonprofit organizations and how they function. It's amazing. So much to learn. mm-hmm.
You love to learn. You've said that a lot. You like yes. to learn new things. I love that. I love that about you. Well, thank you, Hannah, for joining me and giving us this insight. It's been really encouraging to talk to you and hear your story and to know that we have a sister in Columbus, Ohio, who's doing the work that you're doing, both in your vocation and in the church context. So thanks for joining me.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. It was really great.
Thanks so much for listening to By Faith this season. I've loved producing this content for you, and I've loved hearing from you what you've learned, what helped you, and what you were encouraged by. Let me know what topics you still want me to cover when it comes to ministry. I'm making plans for guests and topics for 2022 and would love your input. Find me on Instagram at ChristineHoover98 and let me know your thoughts. Okay, friends, I'll see you again in January. And until then, have a Merry Christmas and keep walking forward by faith.